Okay, I'm sorry. What were we doing? You were saying that the guy at the diner was
Really aggressive, yeah. Just all up in her face.
submitted for your approval. There is a fifth dimension, beyond that which is known to man. There is also, it turns out, a 500th podcast about the Twilight Zone. Those episodes range in quality, as vast as space, and as entertaining as infinity. This one is the middle ground, between light and shadow, between science and superstition, between a podcast worth your time and a giant piece of crap. Join, if you will, Rish Outfield and his niece Cathexis as they travel into the Twilight Grove.
Welcome back to the Twilight Grown podcast. I am one of your hosts, Rish Outfield.
And I am Cathexis.
Cathexis, any idea where your name comes from or what it might mean?
Not now.
All right. Not now. Well, thanks for joining us on this long, long drive today. The episode we're discussing is The Hitchhiker from season one. Originally aired January 22nd, 1960, teleplay by Rod Serling based on a radio play by Lucille Fletcher. And I guess you can tell us what happened, Nan Adams.
Okay, so it starts off with a beautiful young woman having car troubles. She's getting a toe?
She was getting a tire replaced.
Oh, she was getting a tire replaced, okay. And she goes to, I guess, a gas station? Was it a gas station? Yeah.
Service station, yeah.
Getting gas, she's having this guy check her tires and just make sure everything's okay. Before this, before she drives to the service station, she sees a strange man. And then when she gets to the service station, she sees him again in the reflection of a mirror.
Can you describe the man?
Well, she described him as gray and skinny, but I did not see that. He was, short, dark hair. So she describes this man as gray, pale, did she say frail, or skinny, something? Just, he's a strange, frightening-looking man. He's got a top, or a fedora on, and she describes it as a cheap suit. And he's just staring at her, and he does, like, the thumb sign, I guess. For, because he was a hitchhiker, he wanted a ride. And she is looking very, very puzzled, and the service station worker asks her what's wrong, and she says, oh, I was just looking at the hitchhiker. And she turns around, and he's gone. So she assumes, oh, he was picked up. She continues driving. Doesn't she see him periodically throughout the drive? Yeah. And then, this is when she gets to the diner, isn't it? She goes from the service station to the diner? Is that wrong?
Well, there's just tons of driving and her voiceover talking about what it's like to drive for hours and hours
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She keeps seeing this man ahead of her somehow.
Yeah, he's always ahead of her. He's not only is he keeping up with her, but he's moving faster than her, which is very confusing, obviously. So she continues driving. She continues to see this man, and she's talking about how driving this long makes you kind of delirious, and everything just blends together, and she doesn't really know where she is. She just knows that she's driving in a certain direction, and she goes to this diner, and she's looking at a map, and she asks the worker, is it normal for you to have hitchhikers here? Because they were on a turnpike, right? And why was he so aggressive? Yeah, just all up in her face saying, no, there's no hitchhikers here. No one does that. That would be crazy. That's insane. You're crazy. What are you doing here? Like, just really, really drilling into her head that wasn't possible. And then he said, why? Did you see someone? Did you see a hitchhiker? What did you see? Did you see something? And she was like, no, I didn't see anything. And he's, like, backing up towards the door and leaves, because I would, too. That guy was terrifying. And so she continues on her journey. She's still driving, you know, still very paranoid. She gets to a railroad track, and there's a train coming. You know, most people just wait. But she sees this man across the train tracks, just standing there, and she decides to push on the gas, and then she gets stuck on the railroad, which was very confusing to me. I guess her car is stalling and it won't run. And that was a really long scene, oh my gosh, of just her trying to get the car started. And the train is like right there, just so close to her. And she does not look that concerned. She's not trying to get out of the car, but she ends up being able to put the car in reverse just enough so that she doesn't get crushed by the train. And then when the train passes, the man is no longer there. And then there's a voiceover that she does. I can't remember what she says, though. Now I realize the fear has a form or something. Isn't that what she says?
She may have. I just remember her saying, he wanted me to come forward. He wanted me to get hit by the train.
Yeah, and so she just kept saying, I don't know what I'm going to do now. Because now she feels like this man was enticing her, leading her to dangerous situations or dying, ultimately. So she continues driving, and she ends up running out of gas. And she's in the middle of nowhere, and she happens upon a sign that says gas and eats, I think. And so she goes up to this tiny little gas station with a house connected to it, I think. And she knocks on the window, she bangs on the window, she's screaming, and this man opens the window and is very, very rude to her and just says, do you know what time it is? Why are you bothering me? And you can wait until the morning to get gas. And she says, there's a man. And he said, what is he doing? And she just said, well, nothing. He's just standing there. I keep seeing him. I think he's going to rob me. To give this man a sense of urgency to give her gas. She's begging and begging him to just help her in some way. Just give her gas, let her stay, do something. And he's very, very annoyed and slams the window on her, and that's that. And then she turns around, and immediately there's a sailor, a young sailor, which was strange, but okay. And he, I guess, was on his way back to San Diego from, I guess they were in Arizona at that point.
Okay.
And he was hitchhiking. He was trying to get a ride. And he happened upon her because I guess he saw her car, which was parked by the road. And he told her, you know, you left your keys in the car. What's going on? And she said, this man won't give me any gas. And then they talk about where they're headed. And he says, well, I'm going back to San Diego. And she says, oh, I'll drive you. I'll take you. Please be my passenger. Just ride with me. And he says, okay, you don't have to ask me twice. And so he bangs on the window and he gets gas from this man. And they go back to the car. They fill the car up and then they're on their way. And he's kind of creepy in the beginning, but I digress. She's obviously very upset still. And she doesn't see the man for a while. They're just driving. And then she sees this man on the side of the road again. And she swerves. She was frightened. And he is very obviously upset. Like, what are you doing? There was nothing there. I didn't see anything. And she says, well, you have to have seen him. There was a man on the side of the road. And he said, I didn't see anything. And not too long after, it happens again. And she tries to hit this man. But the sailor again says, there was no one there. And then he forces her to pull over and is just freaking out, you know, very frightened. And she's begging him to stay in the car. You know, she tries to say, well, I want to be your girlfriend. I want you to take me out on a date. And he's just horrified at, thinks she's absolutely crazy. And so he gets out of the car and he says, you need a good night's sleep, not a boyfriend. So she's all alone again and she's sobbing and afraid. And so she happens upon a payphone, and she's thinking, okay, I'm gonna call my mom and talk to someone that I know and someone that I trust. And she calls and talks to the operator and gets the right number and building and everything, and a woman answers, and it's not her mother. And she says, who's this? And the woman says, Mrs. Whitney. And she says, I don't know a Miss Whitney. She says, where is Miss Adams, her mother? And the woman on the line says, well, she's still in the hospital. She had a nervous breakdown. And she's very confused. Our main character is super confused, thinking my mom's healthy and what has happened. And the woman on the other line says, well, she's been, I like this, ever since her daughter died. She said, her daughter died? What? What are you talking about? And she said, well, 6 days ago, her daughter blew out a tire. And her car flipped and she died. and you just see like a wave of like aha go across our main character's face, Nan, I guess. And she just kind of hangs up the phone and walks away, and she says something like, "Now I understand," or "Now I'm not afraid. And I'll find out what this man wants. I'll meet this man and see what he wants from me." And she gets in the car, and she opens the mirror, and it's his face instead of hers. And he says, "I think you're going my way." Doesn't he? Is that what he says? And then it ends. Did I miss anything?
No, I think that was it. Okay, so did you know what was going on the whole time? Could you tell where it was going?
No, I was super confused, actually. I was very confused. I had no idea. I guess there were a lot of ways in my head that it could have gone. I don't know, my head didn't connect the beginning with that at first.
Because it starts with a guy saying, "You were doing 65 miles an hour and you had a blowout? It's like, you're lucky you had to call a tow truck instead of a hearse," something like that. And having seen this episode before, I knew what that signified. But then the rest of the episode, it doesn't really hint that there aren't further clues. Yeah. It's just confusing.
Yeah.
And the guy, the hitchhiker, only ever says two things. He says, "Going west." And then at the very, very end, he says, "I think you're going my way." And I had remembered it that every time she saw him, he'd say, "Going my way." But I don't know if that's not how it was at all. He doesn't ever say anything. Although you see him like 100 times along the road.
And then they do two really close-ups to his face where he like pops in the camera and freaks you out. That was interesting.
Yeah, it was almost all of it was shot out on location in actual cars. And I found that interesting because that's got to be way more expensive and difficult than just doing, you know, process screen or, you know, just doing poor man's process, which is what we get with the sailor and Nan in that one scene. And it's got a ton of voiceover. It reminds me of, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Duel, which was a Spielberg movie in 1971. And it's about Dennis Weaver is driving in a car, and it's one of those super long drive movies, and you just hear his voiceover and the things going through his head, and probably on these exact same roads right there outside of Los Angeles. But I guess I should have asked if you liked this episode.
It wasn't my favorite, but I liked it well enough. Just the way that the women are so stupid, you know? Like, there's so many things that she could have done. Like, she didn't have to go on the train track and then sit there. But I wonder if deep down she knew, because she was not in a hurry at all, I feel like, on the train track. Like, she wasn't scared of it hitting her, I don't feel like.
Yeah, well, I have to admit that knowing the twist, knowing that she died, and this is like the Grim Reaper or something.
Yeah.
A lot of it just doesn't make any sense.
No. Why could they see her?
Right, because she's a ghost or something like that. And so these people that she interacts that are freaked out by her, how is that working? Is she actually there and interacting with all these people despite having crashed her car? Is this all in her head? And then the weird thing is, so she's been driving for 6 days and six nights without sleeping.
Yeah, that was weird.
But they don't pound that into your head.
Yeah.
You could explain away like a lot of her behavior and a lot of her confusions
for sure,
and that if you let us know that she hasn't slept at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ultimately, I don't feel like this is one of the episodes that works all that well.
No.
But the scene, there's a scene that I thought was just superb, and it's the scene where the sailor made her pull over and says, "You need to get some rest. It's time for me to drive."
Mm-hmm.
And she explains that she was trying to hit the hitchhiker.
Yeah.
And she says, I just thought that if I killed him,
he would go,
then he would leave me alone or whatever. And you see this because all the guys are somewhat predatory in this movie.
Yeah, they totally are.
In this episode. Every single guy, maybe not the guy that helps her change her tire at the beginning.
Yeah.
But like there's something aggressive, like you said, or like overly, I don't know. And maybe that's the life of a young woman on her own, is every man is a potential predator or something like that. because you certainly get that from the sailor.
Oh, it was early on.
But there's a transition when he hears her say that she was trying to kill this guy.
Yeah.
When he is no longer predatory, where she becomes a predator.
That was interesting.
And that's the scene that I think works the best in the show is she says, no, you don't have to go. And he's like, lady, I think I'm going to walk. And then she's like, no, you need to stay with me. You have to stay. Please. I feel bad. I'm sorry. And he's just not buying it. He's just like, I'm going to get my shoes and I'm going to go. And then she goes, I like you.
That was so weird.
That's why I offered you a ride, is because I liked you. I want you to take me out or whatever. And you see this look on the guy's face of just like, no, lady, you're totally crazy. I think that scene works perfectly. I loved the way that scene worked because he does seem kind of creepy. He's one of those guys. He's sitting a little too close to her and he's like looking at her face really close while she's driving and stuff. And he's like, boy, who would have guessed? The boys are never going to believe I got a ride from some lady that looks like a movie star. What are the chances that anybody's going to believe me or whatever? And there is something skeevy, I guess, is probably the word about it. And that just totally goes away when the tables are turned and he becomes afraid of her. I think that scene is really, really good, but it doesn't make sense.
No.
Unless it's a ghost car and she's a ghost driver.
Yeah.
And he will have a story to tell one day of, and it turned out this lady that was giving me the ride, she had been in a car accident 5 days before and had died.
That's true.
And all that. You know what I mean? It's just so weird that she is the ghost and the point of view character is her and we're hearing all of her thoughts. If she's a ghost.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then the hitchhiker, I'm assuming he is the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
But maybe not. Why is he trying to beckon her over the tracks to get killed if she's already
again?
Dead?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, I don't know. I still wonder like what his goal was.
They shoot him in a really scary way. Like you said, he pops into view a couple of times, like where just the camera moves and he's right there.
Super close up, yeah.
But I don't think he's a scary looking guy.
No.
He's like a grandfatherly, like sort of round faced.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like a bartender or looks like, a toll booth operator or something.
Yeah.
One of those blue collar guys that you would see on a porch swing. The guy that wouldn't help her at the gas station.
Gosh.
She says, I think he's going to rob me. And she's like the most vulnerable she is in the whole episode.
Like
and
begging.
She's like, please. And he says, well, if he robs you, come back and we'll call the police or whatever. He's so uncaring. It's one of those things that you see on TV or in movies from time to time where you're like, no, nobody would be that much of a piece of crap.
Where did they get the idea?
You'll always see like these cars that nearly hit your main character or hit the character's girlfriend or whatever. And then they just drive away. And you'd be like, no, nobody would do that. Nobody is that huge of a prong. But this guy was.
Yeah, he was.
And I kind of wish we had seen the scene where the sailor had forced him
to get
out of his bed and get them some gas or whatever. Because he deserved it. Whatever sailor said, this guy deserved it. We don't get that scene. I don't know. This one felt a little bit more dated. Do you want to describe the car that she was driving?
Incredibly long. The trunk could have fit 4 bodies probably. Skinny. What was it? I don't know.
Well, it says here in the book, but I didn't think it was important what kind of car it was.
It just seems so awkward.
So it's a 1959 Ford County sedan. Okay, so they put out a call in June of 1959 that they needed a car, and Ford Motors donated this car.
Oh.
And they used it for filming. They used it for company business. They used it on location trips. And they used it in this episode on the understanding that it would be product placement.
Okay.
That, when your characters are driving a car, it will be one of our Fords.
Gotcha.
But it is so gargantuan.
It's huge.
Just the front seat. I think you could lay down and sleep comfortably on the front seat.
Yeah.
And then the back seat, too. It was 4 doors for some reason. Well, Sorry, the book is just filled with all sorts of interesting little tidbits of trivia, but I'm sure it's not interesting for me to just read it and you just sit silently while I read it. I don't know Inger Stevens,
the actress. I liked her.
They said she was 27, and I think this is like one of the few times when the actress was probably younger than the part that they were trying to play.
Yeah, probably.
I think the younger she would have been, the more worried we would have been for her, the more vulnerable.
That's true, yeah.
Because by 27, you probably should be able to handle yourself. I don't know, but yeah. Maybe that's just...
That's true.
We were talking in the last episode about with It's a Good Life, you wouldn't have to change anything to remake it today. In this one, in the world of cell phones, there's no reason for her not to know what's up with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
But you can say when she's driving through New Mexico or Arizona that there's no cell service. That's true. Doesn't work for 6 days.
Yeah, why didn't she call before? Or think, or just...
Yeah, well, I don't know. I feel like this one is more problematic. The parts that work, but on a whole, I'm not really sure what was going on. No. Do we project that the hitchhiker is scary, or is he legitimately scary?
He scared me. He was creepy. Just the lurking, I think, freaked me out, because as women, like, we're supposed to look out for the creepy, like, guys lurking in the background. So for me, it was freaky. It was just suspicious, more so. He wasn't frightening for you?
Well, he just seemed like a schlub, you know? He didn't seem like a...
Yeah.
He seemed like a down-on-his-luck guy, you know, who needed a ride rather than... If they had hired somebody who's maybe younger and more dangerous looking, that's just me.
Yeah. And also, like, it's always hitchhikers equal bad. You know, that's just kind of something that is drilled into our heads, I feel like, especially my age. Like, that's a bad thing. It's always going to turn out badly, so.
Yeah, well, I wonder in 1960 whether that was already the rule.
It was like, wasn't that like the height of... people hitchhiking and just randomly getting rides from people, especially like young women? And
well, I don't know. It seems like even 20 years before this, if you're a young woman, somebody would tell you don't pick up a hitchhiker. Yeah. You know, that's how a lot of the sailors and soldiers got around in World War II, is just hitchhiking and stuff, and everybody would pick somebody up in uniform.
Yeah.
My dad would always pick up hitchhikers.
Really?
And I find that strange. And I have picked up a hitchhiker once when I was going on a road trip to Phoenix, Arizona. But I was going with another person. So it was two guys.
Oh, that's good.
Picking up a woman that was hitchhiking.
A woman?
And that's the weird thing, is I think about that now and think about, that seems really brave or dumb for a young woman by herself to be hitchhiking. Ooh. And then to be picked up by two guys. But I remember a time when I lived in LA, and I think I was going to Vegas. And it might have been when I was going to LA, because I remember my car, the whole back seat being filled with like boxes and stuff. So I think maybe it was like Christmas break or Thanksgiving break or something like that. I had come back here and filled up with a lot of stuff to take to my apartment in LA, and I stopped at a gas station or a fast food restaurant or whatever, and there was a man and his wife, and they were both hitchhiking, and they asked me if I would give them a ride, and I said, well, yeah, I would, but look, the whole back seat is filled with boxes, so I'd have to pick one of you up and take you and then come back and get the other one. And they were like, oh, well, never mind. And I said, no, I don't mind. That's fine. I can do that. How far do you have to go? And they backed away from me, just like, oh no, we're fine. We're not going to split up. You go along your way, sir, kind of thing. And I was just like, oh,
sorry.
He thought that I was like going to murder one
and Dick,
and it's like, I've got a shovel in the back. I'm going to take you out to the desert, and either you or your wife. I'm not assuming you, sir, but maybe it's your wife.
Either one.
And then I'll come back and I'll get you. In fact, maybe I'll dig a big hole, so that I don't have to dig two holes. Is that all right, sir? I just remember that him being like, no, you just go. Drive on. You know, kind of thing. Which was weird. But I don't know. Is it more dangerous to hitchhike or more dangerous to pick up a hitchhiker?
It's probably more dangerous to hitchhike. I don't know.
I would think so.
But I guess you could pick up someone that's crazy. You wouldn't know. I don't know.
You always see these girls getting picked up by a guy, and then he puts his hand on her knee or whatever while they're driving and stuff like that. So in my mind, it's just like, if you're a girl, never hitchhike.
Yeah.
Ever. Sorry.
I don't think I've ever seen a woman hitchhiking in my life. I've seen men, but no women.
Oh, you know what? I picked up a hitchhiker just, was it 2 years ago, last year?
Really?
Did I not tell you this story? Now, if you're listening and you've listened to my podcast, you know the punchline on this. But I told everybody this story, and they didn't get the point of the story. They got, are you crazy picking up a hitchhiker? That was the point that they got. But I was at Walmart, and I was going out to the parking lot, and this was 2 a.m., middle of the night. I was coming back from my cousin's house, and I had stopped at Walmart and grabbed something, and there weren't a lot of cars, of course, at the parking lot at that hour. And this guy, he had crutches, and he came hobbling as fast as he could toward me on the crutches, saying, hey, hey, hey. And I was just like, oh, no, the guy's on crutches, you know. Can I really not give him a ride if he's on crutches?
That would scare me more.
And he said, I just got out of the hospital. You know, I hurt my leg, and I need a ride. And he says, where are you going? And I told him where I was going, and he's just like, oh, me too. Can you give me a ride? And so there was a moment where I had to decide whether I was going to or not. And yes, we all have been told not to do it, and we've all seen the same horror movies. The original Hitcher is better than the remake. But I was just like, the guy's on crutches. He just got out of the hospital or whatever. I'll give you a ride. Because I didn't, well, maybe I told it wrong. I was going to say that he told me where he was going first.
Oh,
and it happened to be the same place. I don't remember.
Either way, it was.
That's not the point. The point was, we were driving, and he was, you know, telling me about what had happened to him, that he had been hiking and he hurt his leg and he had to go to the hospital and there was no way for him to get home until the next morning or something like that. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. Turns out he was getting off on the exact same exit that I was getting off anyway. And he was just talking, jabbering the whole time.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm on painkillers. You know, I don't know what I'm saying and stuff. And he was just jabbering. Anyway, we were getting to his neighborhood. It was a part of the town that I'd never been to before. And I said, you know, you'll just have to tell me where to turn and all that. And he's like, yeah, that's great. And he says, hey, Rish, thank you for driving me here to my house. And that's the moment when I was like, what did he just call me? And this is the part, whenever I tell the story, they're like, so? And I said, well,
what?
A, why would he know that name?
He called you that?
And two,
I never
told him that.
That's so scary.
And I think I had somebody say, well, obviously he recognized your voice from a podcast. No, he didn't. All the people who have ever listened to my voice on all the podcasts put together is just like 0.002% of the population. You know what I mean? And so for the next like 3 minutes while I'm driving him to his house, I'm just like, how does he know my name?
You notice automatically?
What could he have said that I thought sounded like, maybe said fish. Maybe said wish. I wish I appreciated you picking me up. No, that doesn't work either. I'm just like, oh no, what? This guy's going to murder me, or he's a ghost or something. What? This is something really, really freaky. Okay, so here it is. I'm going to get killed. He like Ted Bundy, you know, he would pretend to be injured.
Yes.
So people would drop their guard.
That's true.
You remember, like, he would have a fake cast.
Yeah.
And I dropped him off at his house, and he thanked me again, and he got out, and I was not murdered. And I drove, and it took me like 2 or 3 minutes out of my way to drop this guy off, and I went home. But the whole time I was just like, what could he have said? And I would just think of like other words that sound like that I misheard as, and I never figured out what it was. And he didn't murder me, so it's kind of a letdown, I know, as a story.
No, that's terrifying.
But whenever I would tell somebody this, and I would say, and he said my name,
my stomach like dropped.
Because I don't tell people my name.
No.
My dad used to get so angry. He's like,
really?
Why didn't you tell so-and-so your name? What's wrong with your name? Why don't you like your name? Your mother gave you that name.
Who cares?
And I'd be like, I don't like it. So there, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, whenever I tell people, they're just like, why would you pick up a hitchhiker, you crazy, idiotic, death wish having person?
No, that was just, that wasn't even the cherry on top. You gotta get further in.
So anyhow.
That's gonna bother me.
That was the story there. And yeah, I should have prefaced it with him saying, hey, I saw you in the parking lot. I know it's 2:30 in the morning. I think you're going my way.
Are you going west?
So anyhow, that's it. Hopefully that story made this episode more entertaining.
It did.
But thank you for joining us over on the Twilight Groan. Do you have anything else you need to say?
No, I do not.
Okay, well, I've been Rish Outfield.
And I have been Cathexis.
And
don't pick up hitchhikers.
There you're right. And drive safely. 65 is awfully fast.
Awfully fast.
The Twilight Groan is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. That means you're free to share the file, to download it, to save it, to listen to it, to delete it and forget about it, but you cannot take credit for it, change the file, or try to sell it. That's fair, isn't it? In any genre.
Rish here. I just finished editing the episode, and that's it. Those are all the Twilight Groans. In the past, I'd always had another episode in the can, ready to edit, so I could tease what the next show would be, but there aren't any after this one. My niece said we were going to get together in July. We didn't do it. August. August will be our... No. September. And we didn't do it. So, if that's the last episode of the show, I am happy that I had a chance to do this 11 shows. I think my niece has a very fun personality. Obviously, she hasn't done as much podcasting as I have, so I dominate most of the episodes. But she still manages to shine, I think. And I really liked her reaction to my story in this episode. So, Cathexis, if this is the end, thank you. And if you have listened to this or all the other episodes, I thank you as well. Hopefully, there's plenty more to groan about sometime in the future.